Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me for this time today. We're going to just continue on in a message that I began on Monday regarding the four living creatures found in the book of Ezekiel. And of course, they're referenced in other places in Ezekiel as well as in Isaiah and in the book of Revelation. And I believe as we read scripture, we have to admit that they, in fact, are living creatures. In fact, at one point, Ezekiel identifies them as cherubim, but also there is a symbolic representation or meaning or significance for us, I believe, as we look a little closely at their characteristics and what they did. We can find a parallel between them and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is sort of just a very quick recap. If at any point you ever miss a broadcast or want to rehear it, just go to unveilchrist.org and click on the podcast. You can listen at your convenience. But these four living creatures are symbolic in meaning, and they were birthed, as was the church, out of the midst of a whirlwind, a great cloud, and a fire. And of course, we know they are angelic beings, and so of course they were created by God, but that shows them, as far as the vision that Ezekiel had, they were coming out of this, and we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, were birthed, if you will, on the day of Pentecost out of the fire and the wind of God's Holy Spirit as He came and baptized those 120 in the upper room. And the scriptures go on to say, and it's for unto you and your children's children. In other words, we can partake of that same power. Jesus certainly wasn't just talking to His disciples for them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high with the Comforter, but also every single disciple in all the ages have that same invitation to receive that empowering of the mighty Holy Spirit. So there's a similarity, if you will, in our birth in relation to the living creatures, the church of the Lord, and their character. They're described repeatedly by Ezekiel as living, and then their appearance, which seems really strange, but they have four faces: the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And the face of the man represents intelligence, wisdom, reverence, and worship. The face of a lion, of course, that represents courage and strength. The ox, an animal of service, if you will, a beast of burden, represents humility and patience and perseverance in service. And of course, the face of an eagle represents the fact that we, as the eagle, we can mount up with wings as an eagle, we can rise above the things of the earth, and that represents clear vision. The eagle, I understand, can see prey a mile off. They have amazing vision. So it stands for divine wisdom, clear vision, as well as heavenly power and testimony. And so these four faces symbolize intellect and strength and humility and patience and vision. And then also, as I was concluding yesterday's broadcast, we see that they had four wings, and that denoted not only the ability and the power, as well as responsiveness to obey whatever command the Lord would give, but it says with two, they covered their bodies. And so they were immediate and instant in service, but they were also able to hide themselves or keep themselves out of sight. And as I shared, this makes us recall the scripture of John 3:30, where John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that should be our prayer as well. We don't want to be seen, but we only want to have Jesus portrayed and shown. Amen. And, of course, the fact that those wings were joined, it denotes unity and harmony in service, just like the body of Christ should be fitly framed together and is by the Spirit of God. But that's why, especially Paul speaks so clearly, there should be no strife, no division, no envying, no works of the flesh, because that would destroy unity. It destroys the perfect functioning of the body of Christ. It's just like disease or sickness in our physical bodies. We have spiritual evils like that, and it literally hinders the body of Christ from going forward in obedience to do the greater works that Jesus spoke of. All right, let's go on now. What about their movements? In verse 12 of Ezekiel, the first chapter, it says, they went, referring to the cherubim, every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit of God went, they went. And so what can we learn from this? Well, this method of action or movement, if you will, shows or demonstrates, it proves actually, that they were of one mind and they were dominated by one great purpose. And beloved, we who are the children of God, who are the sons of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. That's Romans 8:14. That's what God has for us. Those, you know, as we are walking the Spirit, as we live in the Spirit, we're also to walk in the Spirit. And so how powerfully this demonstrates to us that the Church of the Living God must go straight forward, not turning to the right nor to the left to go off on detours, but we're to do the will of our Heavenly Father. And this was one of the burdens in Christ's great high priestly prayer in John the 17th chapter. Beloved, that we can set our face as a flint, looking upon the things of God, looking upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that as we walk in obedience, as we are willing to decrease that He might increase, that the glory of the Lord will become manifest. That's His desire. Beloved, it says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters the sea. Beloved, we're coming to a time where every eye shall behold Him. Jesus is coming again in clouds of glory, just as when the disciples saw Him ascend up to heaven. Remember, the angels, two angels came down and He said, "Men of Israel, why are you looking up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you saw taken up from you will return the same way, but He will return as a triumph conquering king, and He will subdue and break in pieces the nations. He will rule with a rod of iron, and there shall be no longer wars, no longer trouble, but there shall be peace upon the earth. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." What a beautiful picture of the peace and serenity and harmony of Christ's millennial kingdom physically here on this earth. This isn't just some doctrine. He is coming back. Praise God. You know, recently I saw a movie, The Son of God, and it's the first movie, Christian movie I've ever seen, where at the end, Jesus says, "I'm coming back." Praise God. Amen. And so, beloved, we see that we need to be just like the cherubim. We keep our eye is single, our whole body shall be full of light. Let's keep our eyes centered on the Lord to do whatever He bids us to do. And now, let's go back to the living creatures. Let's look at other similarities. Well, what was their influence? It says in verse 13, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like lamps. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And there's another beautiful passage found in Psalm 104:4, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flaming fire. We know in the book of Acts, that second chapter, verse 3, the early church was endued with cloven tongues like as of fire. The Holy Spirit descended upon them, and He appeared, as it were, tongues of fire upon their heads. And so, what can we say about this? Well, burning coals, lamps, lightning, they're not only bright, they're not only filled with light and attention-getting, but beloved, they're very self-assertive. They're not to be hid. How could you hide lightning, burning coals, and lamps? There's something, you definitely attract attention, something that would be seen. And again, see the beautiful parallels, the symbology, if you will, to the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew, verse 14, he was talking about his people. Brother, sister, he was talking about you and me. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Beloved, we're to be filled with the Spirit, and the coals of thought of divine purpose and destiny will burn. The lamp of life will shine, and the lightning of conviction and revelation will go forth. Beloved, we have been called with a holy calling. We are called not to be some lukewarm, namby-pamby, insipid church, but we are called as the sons and daughters of God. Beloved, all creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Beloved, we have been called with a purpose. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. In this hour, in this day, I am pouring out my Spirit, that whomsoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. And as you drink deeply, and as you partake, as it is further written, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Be ye filled, says the Lord. Be ye sanctified and set apart. Be ye ready to do your master's service. For I'm calling willing hands and willing hearts to come together in this hour, that you might set the captive free, that the Spirit of the Lord, which is upon my body, shall do the even greater works that I have called them to do, says the Lord. Praise God, praise God. I feel the mighty presence and anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord and give him honor and glory. Amen and amen. Well, in the final moments, I just want to share. Well, I might not even have time to do that. We'll have to just wait till tomorrow's broadcast. And Lord willing, we will conclude and continue this message. I do invite you to tune in. And I thank you for your prayers as well as for your financial help. God love you. I love you. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that you be blessed and enjoy his strength and provision and favor. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.